Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and if you all will hold it down in the audience, please. Like, for real, hush. Thank you. Good evening. We have welcome to the Tuesday, March 22nd, 2011 Carrboro Board of Aldermen public hearing. We have only one item on our agenda for tonight. And before we get to it, I just want to say one or two things to help folks understand how this public hearing is going to be conducted. First of all, typically it is the Board of Aldermen's custom that when a matter is controversial, we do not typically vote we don't make a decision on the same night that we conduct the public hearing. And it seems like perhaps this might be controversial. So I would anticipate, although the board's free to do what it pleases, I would anticipate that we're probably not going to vote on
they can't hear you.
Is the sound system on?
Usually you can hear
real
well.
So. Yeah, usually you can hear
it. There we go.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So typically the Board of Aldermen does not vote on the same, make a decision on a permit application or rezoning or that type of thing on the same night that we have a public hearing if the matter is controversial, which this apparently would be. So we will probably not vote make the final decision on this rezoning request tonight. We're going to receive public comments tonight, but the matter will probably come back to the Board of Aldermen sometime in April. I think it's currently scheduled to come back April 19th, and I would anticipate the Board of Aldermen would probably make a decision one way or another on April 19th. However, having said that, I think it's up to the board to decide exactly when they would like to take this matter back up. That'll probably be one of the subjects that we're going to discuss after we've heard from the public. Because a large number of people are signed up to speak at this hearing, I'm planning on more strictly enforcing our traditional three-minute time limit than I usually do. I'll try to do that in a way that applies equally and evenly to everyone who's speaking tonight. I'm going to use this, if I'm capable, I'm going to use this electronic timer, and it does beep, so that will be your cue that your 3 minutes have run. And then the other thing is, I know that there will probably be points where someone will say something tonight that you strongly agree with or strongly disagree with. I would ask you not to interrupt people who are speaking so that we can move in an orderly fashion through the list of people who are signed up, no matter how much what they say might move you to agree or disagree. If you can please try to contain yourself, that would be helpful. There's a presentation from the staff.
Yes.
So, yes, ma'am.
Could you watch that down about 30 seconds so people know that they have time?
Oh, yes. It signaled them somehow?
Yes.
If I notice, if I'm paying enough attention to the timer, I'll try to wave to you somehow.
Why don't you put it in between us and I'll hold up the sign. It says 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Do we have a sign? We'll make a sign. We'll try to flash you a signal to tell you that you've got about 30 seconds left. all right. With that, I want to begin and by the way, if everyone at the beginning of your comments, if you would just state your name for the record and also please tell us where you live, that would be helpful. So we'll begin our agenda, item A1, a public hearing on land use ordinance map amendment related to property located at 210 Hillsborough Road. Mr. Manager.
Okay. Trish McGuire, planning administrator, does have a presentation, and following that, the applicant, Orange County, also has a presentation to Trish.
Good evening, everyone. In the interest of all the folks here, I'll try to move quickly, but try not to speak too fast, so that'll be my goal for the evening. The applicant this evening is the property owner and contract purchaser, both. Jared Resnick is representing NCLA Properties, and Orange County was represented on the application by Frank Clifton, the county manager. The property we're discussing this evening is located on the east side of Hillsborough Road, adjacent to Carver Elementary property generally, as well as other properties. The requested action this evening is to rezone the property at 210 Hillsborough Road from R10 to B2 conditional zoning. The name for that zone is fringe commercial. The county has included within their petition and their narrative 9 conditions that are related to how the site would eventually be used as a library. The Board of Aldermen's role this evening is to receive public input to decide whether the amendment advances the public health, safety, or welfare, and to adopt a statement whether the action is consistent with adopted plans, as well as whether it is reasonable and in the public interest. This map illustrates the 1,000-foot notification area around the site located here on Hillsborough Road. And then an aerial view of the same, showing the property boundaries and the frontage on Hillsborough Road, as well as an oblique aerial from a slightly different angle that shows the surrounding properties, residential here, here, and here, and the elementary school here. Just for folks who aren't familiar with the area, this is the most visible site right from out on the street, Carver Methodist Church.
Trish, could you go back to that a second? I have a question. Are those lines accurate? I guess that's the gun property to the north there, and does the right of way go that close to the house? Is that that?
This is an oblique view, so I think the previous slide has a vertical view that shows a little bit better. These are not perfect in terms of the property boundaries, but.
Okay, and so a significant portion of their driveway is in that right of way. Is that correct?
Well, kind of loop drive this lot is essentially a flag lot. It has about a 60-foot wide flag that comes out to the street, and the gun's driveway, the historic driveway serving this property and this home, which has been relocated as part of the subsequent subdivision of it and the gun's purchase and renovation of the home. Is still served by this driveway, but this driveway is a U-shaped driveway here.
Okay.
Serves
your
house. And as well as is located on the frontage right here for the property on Hillsborough Road. But the property boundaries on the oblique are not, they're not representative of reality, except generally the shape of them. All of the surrounding directly adjacent properties to this site are zoned R10, and they include 304 Shelton, 208 Hillsborough, 212 Hillsborough, 214 Hillsborough, and a lot that does not yet have an address on Partenza Lane. There is a right-of-way, of course, at the front of the property and the lots on the other side of the street. I believe those are 209 and 211, or 213, rather, Hillsborough are adjacent but across the street. And aside from the school use, the surrounding uses are residential, with one vacant lot, the unaddressed lot on Partenza Lane. Partenza Lane is a private drive off of Pine Street. The existing zoning, this is a comparison of the of general characteristics of the two zoning districts. The existing zoning density from a residential standpoint is R10, which means 10,000 square feet is required per dwelling unit. And in the B2, if it were to be developed for residential purposes, the density is 7,500 square feet per dwelling unit. The height restriction in the R10 is 35 feet and two stories in the B2. The setbacks in the R10 are 25 feet at the right-of-way and 12 foot at the lot boundary. In the B2, those dimensions are 15 feet at the right-of-way and 10 feet at the lot boundary lines. The uses are primarily residential, actually, in both of these districts. That is to say, the bulk of the permitted uses in both zones, the most number of uses within a particular use classification is residential. But, of course, there are some public or semi-public uses allowed in the R10 zoning district, including schools and a library of limited size and some other public facilities, fire stations, police stations, things like that. That is similar in the with regard to the B2, but there are also commercial uses allowed in that zone, including retail and office. And
excuse me, does the item before us disallow all those other generally permitted uses?
I was just going to mention that point, actually. But with regard to those are the general requirements for the B2 zoning district, just to see. The dimensional standards, for example, are perhaps most relevant to the way a site would be developed. But in this case, before the board is a request to rezone the property to only allow it to be developed for a library use. So that is the most specific question in front of you. And the question at hand, essentially. The town doesn't have a land use plan that applies in this particular location, and with regard to legislative amendments, we typically look at the town's Vision 2020 document for policy information that might help inform, but it's not required to. It's a non-binding document, but might help inform decisions with regard to text amendments and map amendments. The applicant has noted a number of Vision 2020 policy. The staff's identified three, 1.22 dealing with the support of a centrally located and conveniently accessible library, 1.45 dealing with the town's encouragement of active participation of citizens in community planning, and 2.11 the language regarding infill development and mitigation of adverse impacts of infill development on roads, sidewalks, aesthetics, neighboring properties, etc. The action items in your packet are three. You can choose a combination of two of those if and when you decide to take action. The first is attachment A1, which is a statement explaining the board's reasons for adopting an amendment to the zoning map. Attachment A2, which would be a statement explaining the board's reasons for rejecting an amendment to the zoning map, and the draft ordinance that amends the zoning map for 210 Hillsborough Road from R10 to B2CZ with eight conditions. We condensed two of the conditions that were presented in the county's petition. Those are the action items, excuse me. The action options before the board this evening are to approve the resolution finding consistency of the requested change and to approve the ordinance amending the zoning map, to request additional information from the petitioner related to traffic and parking, perhaps other impacts as well, and any anticipated mitigation strategies that could be addressed through conditions, and then to approve the resolution finding consistency of the existing zoning and deny the amendment request. The town has received a valid petition opposing the map amendment. The petition was signed by more than 5% of the owners of a 100-foot-wide buffer along the property boundary of the property that is in this petition. It was prepared appropriately on a form provided by the town clerk. Consequently, the proposed amendment may only be approved or adopted by a favorable vote of 3/4 of the board membership. The map amendment is a legislative action, meaning the board has broad authority to make this type of decision, but a public hearing must be held before taking action. And again, referring back to those statements, at the resolutions I described, the board must adopt a statement regarding the consistency of the action with adopted plans or policy. and also explain, include a statement explaining how the action is reasonable and in the public interest, and no members of the Board of Aldermen are allowed to vote on recommendations regarding any amendment where the outcome of the matter being considered is reasonably likely to have a direct, substantial, and readily identifiable financial impact on the member. The recommendations that are included in your packet come from the, I think I actually missed one of your advisory boards, pardon me, in this slide. The Planning Board recommends postponement of a decision to allow time for the county, town, and others to gather more information on alternative sites. The Economic Sustainability Commission is in favor of the site for use as a library and has some additional commentary provided in their recommendation. The Transportation Advisory Board recommends approval of the conditional zoning to allow for the library use and also provided information about their deliberation. And I know that there's representatives of the TAB here as well, and there are so many folks who haven't noticed the other advisory boards, but they may be here too. The Appearance Commission also reviewed this the Appearance Commission didn't have a quorum when they had their discussion, so they did provide a recommendation, but it represents a committee of the Appearance Commission at best rather than the Appearance Commission in its entirety. The staff recommends consideration of the resolutions of consistency and the draft ordinance that would place the B2 CZ zoning at 210 Hillsborough Road. And Michael Harvey is the staff person from Orange County who's going to be making a presentation for the county this evening.
One question. Could you go back to the picture, the aerial view of the library? And I was wondering about, so that is Shelton Street that butts up into the property there.
Yes.
It isn't school property.
No, that's right. Okay. There is a right-of-way of Shelton Street right in this location.
Okay. Thanks.
Trish, were you going to review the 9 conditions? Or?
I can do that if you would.
I think it would be helpful for the citizens okay. who are here to okay. be aware of those if they're not.
Sorry, I didn't put that in my slide.
We can just let everyone read them.
I don't know if I'll subject everyone to that. But the only permissible use on the subject property shall be a library, classification 5.320, and that is a library that would be located in any permissible structure and would not be size limited by the classification of the land use ordinance. The second condition is that the size of the proposed library shall consist of no greater than 20,000 square feet of floor area. The third condition is that the height of the library building shall be limited to a single story to ensure that the structure is not detracting from adjacent single-family residences or dominating the local landscape. The fourth condition is that the final design for the library shall incorporate the various architectural standards as contained within Section 15.178 of the Land Use Ordinance, specifically those outlined in Provision A 1 through 4, to achieve the most suitable library for the site. And then if deviations from those standards would be needed, there is a process outlined in the ordinance by which the Appearance Commission would review changes, and those would be considered by the Board of Aldermen. The operating hours, including any ancillary use, such as activities or events held in public meeting spaces, shall be limited to Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 8, Friday, 10 a.m. to 6, Saturday, that is to say 8 p.m. and 6 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., with Labor Day through Memorial Day and no summer Sunday hours. All outdoor lighting, with the exception of security lighting on the library building itself, shall be extinguished at 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Friday, and 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Sidewalks and bike lanes shall be extended to encourage pedestrian access to the proposed library, and traffic and parking impacts, with particular attention to impacts on surrounding properties, especially during peak hours, shall be analyzed and mitigated where possible. Petitioner shall work with the Town of Carrboro, Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, the Carrboro United Methodist Church, and the North Carolina Department of Transportation to analyze these impacts and mitigation options. Sure. I'll leave those up there in case anybody needs to see them.
Okay. Mr. Harvey, if you would come up and make a presentation on behalf of Orange County.
Good evening. My name is Michael Harvey, and I'm actually a planner with the Orange County, and I have been selected to present to you a brief synopsis of our application. I also want to inform you that tonight we are represented by several other individuals of the project team, most notably Ms. Gwen Harvey of the Orange County Manager's Office, Ms. Andrea Tullis of the Library, Ms. Sahana Ayer of our County Attorney's Office, Mr. Jeff Thompson, and Ms. Mary Beth Carr, who are also staff who participated in the development of this application. And what I would like to do at this point is just briefly present to you how we got to this point, try to answer any questions you may have. We have other county staff, if I'm unable to present you an answer, and obviously allow you the opportunity to hear from the public. So I won't take up too much of your time. The purpose of this rezoning request has already been articulated by your staff, is to rezone the property for the specific purpose of the construction of a library, not to exceed 20,000 square feet in total gross floor area. This application has been submitted in an attempt to comply with various recommendations and suggestions made by several library service task forces, calling for the development of a full-service library for the residents of southwestern Orange County. Within these minimum recommendations from these various task forces, the county was charged with finding a site suitable to develop what is deemed to be a full-service library, which the task force indicates anywhere from 18 to 20,000 square feet, that there be the ability to have adequate parking on site to support the development of said library, that property be have accessibility to pedestrian, bicycle, vehicular, public transit modes of transportation, that it be central to southwestern Orange County residents, and accommodates the combination, relocation, expansion of existing facilities such as the library and the McDougal Elementary Branch existing library.
Quick question.
Sir.
North Carolina, for a full-service library, it's 16,000?
I believe that is correct. I'm going to ask Ms. Tullis to respond to them once our presentation is over. But, yes, sir, I believe you are correct. Continuing on, as you all know, again, from staff's presentation, the current zoning of the property is R10, which would allow for a maximum library of 3,500 square feet. County planning staff or county management staff determined that that was not going to be sufficient in order to achieve what the task force had recommended, also to address what we felt was the needs of the southwestern residents of Orange County. So we determined after reviewing your ordinance and having a meeting with your staff that the conditional rezoning construct would allow us the opportunity to propose the rezoning of this property for the specific purpose of building a library, establishing what we believe to be reasonable conditions. In this case, chief among them being that the library would not be over 20,000 square feet in gross floor area. As we have on the slide, limits land use to the library specifically. While our application says to the land use category that may include other uses, I think it's specific enough that you'll note within our introduction, within the conditions we propose, that we only intend to build a library on this property. And this process allows for mutually agreed upon conditions. As you know, through this process and reviewing your ordinance, conditions may be imposed on this rezoning that are mutually agreed to by the alderman and the county board of commissioners. We have suggested 9 central conditions, which I'll summarize in my concluding remarks. We are more than open to hear any suggestions you may have. Those conditions, obviously, if you formally take action to recommend them, would have to be certified by the county board of commissioners. As a summary of the two existing processes, you have conditional use zoning and conditional zoning. There are similarities and differences, and I want to take a moment just to explain those similarities and differences and why we chose this process. Both processes require a public hearing. They both allow for conditions to be mutually agreed to by the applicant as well as the Board of Aldermen. Both require a conditional use permit to be issued, allowing for the construction of the library to commence. and both established that the property could only be used for a specific purpose, in this case a library. The central difference, obviously, is through this process we are not obligated to seek the conditional use permit at this time. As we have put forth in our narrative and our application, one of the rationales for that is we don't have funds budgeted in order to cover the site plan costs associated with the design and development of the library. We also believe there's insufficient time to allow the county to engage in the public information process that we have envisioned in order to determine how the library ought to be designed. This process at least allows us the opportunity to seek an answer from the Board of Aldermen if they believe this is a suitable site for a library, and if your decision is that it is and is rezoned, we can continue to move forward with site plan and development. Which leads us into our next point, that a lot of issues are going to be addressed in the site plan design process. It still needs to be remembered that when we start dealing with issues of traffic analysis, landscape requirements, parking, and stormwater, we still have to go through your conditional use permitting process, which means that requires a judicial hearing. You're going to have to determine whether or not we meet your standards or not. The approval of this rezoning does not guarantee a library is going to be built on this site. It only guarantees we have the option of pursuing a specific permit through the conditional use permitting process to do so. The Board of Aldermen can determine that that permit submittal is insufficient with local codes and development regulations and obviously take action to deny the permit upon the conclusion of that public hearing. With respect to development of a library, and the opportunities that gives the county and the surrounding residents of Orange County. Obviously, we believe it's important to have a freestanding library serving the southwestern portion of the county, providing a myriad of services that currently are not available to local residents, including children's, young adult, adult collections, reference services, computer availability, the ability to have public meeting rooms and programming for all ages. It is our determination that the 210 Hillsborough site meets the town's development requirements and meets our needs in terms of the development of a library to satisfy the recommendations made by the various task forces. The county also chose this site because of its proximity to the existing elementary school, which we believe offers us some programmatic synergies in cooperation with Chapel Harbor City Schools.
Excuse me, have you all seen this letter we received from Principal Diffins at the elementary school?
No, sir, I have not seen it.
You all should get a copy of this because they have some concerns, mostly about the accessibility issues.
Thank you, but no, sir, I was not aware. In conclusion, I will reiterate that we believe the property is optimal for this site. We believe that there's ample opportunity for community involvement in Tarboro's design process as we move forward if your decision is favorable in our rezoning application. We believe we have recommended conditions that address the basic majority of what could be some design issues on this site, specifically focusing on that this site will only be developed as a library, limiting the square footage. The hours of operation have been established consistent with other Orange County libraries throughout the county. We are trying to establish reasonable limits. We believe reasonable limits on the lighting and how long the light will be on, especially after hours. As Ms. McGuire noted, we intend to go through your architectural standards process as detailed within Section 15-178. And we'll follow your ordinance with respect to deviations as currently allowed. We do intend to extend sidewalks and bike lanes to the proposed library facility, and we fully anticipate working with all parties as identified by Ms. McGuire to address traffic and parking impacts with this particular site. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you have. We also have other county staff that are more than happy to answer any questions that I can.
Okay. Why don't we proceed to hear from the people who are signed up, and then.
Could I ask one question?
Sure.
I understood that there was a survey of the Hillsborough Library and the traffic that library currently receives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have information to share on that?
I do have some information to share. I can provide you with the base information. And if I miss something, we can bring Ms. Tullis up, who actually conducted the survey. the survey was actually taken on the 16th of March during a day which actually represents one of the busiest times in terms of accessibility of the Hillsborough branch of the Orange County Library. From the hours of 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., there were 193 patrons, averaging 48 patrons per hour. From the hours of 2 to 5, there were 153 patrons, with an average number of patrons 51 per hour. And from 5 to 8, there were 94 patrons. So for a grand total that day, 440 patrons for the main branch of the Central Orange County Library. McDougall, which operates on different hours, on the same day of March the 16th, had 18 patrons from 4 to 5 p.m. and 16 patrons from 5 to 8 p.m., totaling 34.
So those are patrons, not cars.
With respect to cars, there were 251 total cars at Hillsborough. And to break that down even more succinctly, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., there were 100 cars. From 2 to 5, 95. And from 5 to 8, 56. And
there are how many parking spots next to the library?
There are 11 directly accessible in front of the library. There are a total of 40 additional parking spaces leased by the county that is considered public parking for a grand total of 51 parking spaces.
And do you have a record of how many of those car trips actually use the 11 versus the 40?
No, I do not. Ms. Toulos may be able to answer that question. I don't have that information.
Do you have that, Andrea? What she does.
Good evening. I'm Andrea Tallis. I'm the Assistant Library Director for the Orange County Libraries. Approximately 80% of the people who came used the 11 spaces that are located directly next to the library as traffic was in and out most of the day. The majority of the people who used the parking deck, it happened during story time, which was between the hours of 10 to 12, but that was during that 10 to 2 time period. And to also address the minimum recommended library by the State Library of North Carolina, the minimum size recommendation is 16,000 square feet for a full-service library.
The busiest times are during story time and when's the other?
On Wednesday, the busiest time for the deck traffic was during story time, which was 10 to 12.
And then it's after school.
After school as well. There's a slight peak between 3 to 5 p.m.
The other question was, let's see.
We also talked about cars, how many people were in a car.
Yeah.
That's, so, so the other question relates to how many people were in these 250 cars. And on that day, 412 people were in the 250 cars.
So that's a 1.5 person.
Exactly, 1.5.
Okay. Thank you.
And Randy?
I had a question that maybe Andrea can answer. The New Hillsborough Library, the one near the deck, how many square feet is that?
It's also a very good question. It's two stories. It is 23,500 square feet.
And that's distributed over the two
over the two full floors.
Doesn't that include a historic collection?
It includes our local history collection, which approximately takes up about 300 square feet.
And they're also administrative?
Our administrative offices are also located there, and I don't have the square footage on that. And we also do our technical services, which is cataloging of all materials, and that would also remain in Hillsborough, so that would not be something that would transfer into a branch library in Carborough.
And if there were a drop-off site for the books, as I understand there is going to be this site, would that reduce the number of cars pulling into the library?
I would assume that would be part of our traffic analysis and also would be part of the further discussions with everyone regarding the design process.
Andrea, the former library, which was the older building, how many square feet was that library?
It was approximately 12,000 square feet.
Okay, that was 12,000. That included which services?
It included our services there, but unfortunately, especially in the children's department, the majority of the children's materials were located above 4 feet, So it was very inconvenient for children to be able to retrieve any items on their own. So what we did is we used vertical space. So it wasn't efficient or effective.
Mm-hmm. Do you have how many children use the library? Is that something you have off the top of your head?
No, I don't have the exact figure. We did not do a survey about how many little people came in with big people. So, but we did. What I can tell you is during the hours of 10 to 2, we had 176 that were in the cars and only 100 cars. So it was a little higher as far as how many people were in those cars during that time period. And, of course, 10 to 2 being the most important, the most condensed time of children.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sure we'll have some more questions at some point for county staff, but I'm going to go ahead and start moving through this list of people who signed up to speak.
And Mark, were you going to comment at all on the scope of our decision at this point, or do you think Trish did that well enough?
Well, in the sense that, I'm not sure if I know exactly what you're getting at, but
I think that we've received emails that suggest that we might be considering whether this is the best site or the only site, things like that. Whereas,
I've certainly got a lot of phone calls and emails from people who have ideas for other locations where a library might be built and that type of thing. Sometimes some of them from people who are actually looking to sell some piece of property, and sometimes from people who just have an opinion about that. And I think it might be worth pointing out, as I've tried to those folks, that this is not a development the town of Carrboro is not the applicant here. We're not the ones pursuing this. We're not the ones who write a check to purchase this piece of land. We're not. It's the county government that is the applicant here, and so the issue before us is about the rezoning of this particular property. My experience is that the county commissioners respectfully listen to what I have to say, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they respectfully do what I say. I think that's the kind of context you're trying to get here. I mean, we're here to make a zoning decision on a particular parcel.
Well, can I add one thing?
Sure.
This is a little bit tangential, but I think it's important background. In North Carolina, there are some hundreds of municipalities, of which 8 have libraries. All the rest of the libraries in the state are either county libraries or regional library systems. And Orange County Library is actually part of the Hokanichi, am I saying that right, Randy?
Hokanichi
Library system that includes, is it Person County?
In Caswell, I think.
In Caswell. Anyway, so I think for us, people in our community, because Chapel Hill is one of those 8 municipalities, it's sometimes obscured what the nature of delivery of library services is typically in North Carolina. So I just wanted to share that.
And Dan, with that you mean libraries that are run by towns versus by counties?
Yes, exactly.
Not towns with libraries.
Right, that are actually operated, funded, the decision-making is by the town.
Right, the Durham Library is the Durham County Library.
That's right.
Not the Durham City Library, for example. The first person I have signed up is, actually 2 people are signed up here together, Madeline and Gordon Mitchell. Either or both of you come up.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I'm Madeline Mitchell. My husband and I own property at 404 Hillsborough Road. a couple of blocks from the proposed library access point. As a book lover, it is hard to imagine that I would be speaking in opposition to a library site in Carrboro, but here I am. The access point for this site would shock most people if they went and stood in between the two houses on which the right-of-way is located. It's like a very long driveway leading to a lot behind one of the houses. The only other access available would be an extension of Shelton Street and would run right in front of Carwell Elementary School. Just imagine a library book sale or a reading by a popular author. Cars parked along the driveway in between the two houses in question, or even on Hillsborough Road. Or possibly in the Carver Elementary Carver Methodist Church daycare area, which already can be a traffic nightmare. I am sure that the well-intentioned have not planned for these eventualities. However, the key word is plan. We don't have a concrete plan before us. We just have a proposed rezoning. We need a complete project plan. If we were reviewing that tonight, I doubt seriously if there would be any doubt about the inappropriateness of this piece of property for the county library. Also, as you well know, the Chapel Hill Public Library has outgrown its space. Please consider the issues that Chapel Hill is facing as you consider this site. I long for a new local library. This is just not the right site. Also, with regard to parking at the Orange County Library, which I love that library, it has issues itself. I don't know if you've ever gone there on a Saturday or other days and there are people parked behind the allocated spaces. I mean, it has its own problems. Also, I would ask the assistant director what the response rate was for her survey. So, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk, and I hope you'll vote no.
Thank you.
All right. Gordon, do you want to add anything?
Yes. I bought my first property in Carrboro in 1974, which is Hillsborough Road. I used to live on Pine Street. I've lived on Jones Ferry Road. My kids went to Carrboro Elementary School. I've attended Carrboro Methodist Daycare. I talked to the Red Center about this property back when he was still alive as a real estate broker. I know this area well. I don't think that it's traffic-wise suitable for a library. I think there are several considerations. A couple of facts that I don't see mentioned in the presentation was that Shelton Street goes directly through the property, according to the resident recorded plat. And if a neighbor's petitioned for the abandonment of that unopened street, would part of this land revert back to the adjacent property owners, which would be the two houses that faced Hillsborough Road that would have the access between them? That's one question I have. There's also deed restrictions on the property that were placed there by the Center family that says this property can only be used for five residential lots with only one residence per lot. I know that doesn't bind the town in any way, but I could see that as a potential problem. There are other properties in town. There's one next to the Martin Luther King Park on Hillsborough Road that has direct access to the park that the county might wish to consider. It has cost a whole lot less, about $150,000 for 3 acres, and it might be combined with the park in some way to make a desirable property. I'll just throw that out. I think there are other possibilities.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
All right. The next person is Heidi Perry, and then Melanie Cecil will be on deck.
I'm Heidi Perry. I'm at 407 Robert Hunt Drive. I'm a member of the Transportation Advisory Board, but I'm speaking as a citizen of Carrboro tonight. I imagine that you don't really want to be here tonight for this long public hearing, and neither do I. In fact, I wish we'd gotten a freestanding library 20 years ago when we first started fighting for one. Unfortunately, we keep coming back year after year with the same recommendations from the same from different task forces for a freestanding library in Carrboro. The location of this space is, in my opinion, in many ways very conducive to a library. Since the library is a public building and not a commercial building, it is not inappropriate to have it located next to another public building, in this case a school. One of the biggest advantages to this location is that the complementary hours between it and the school allow for many fewer parking spaces to be built to accommodate the patrons of the library. It is also extremely accessible by bike, by foot, by bus, and would allow many citizens of Carrboro to make it part of a walk to the farmers market or to the downtown area. It also would allow for a nice outdoor space at the library, providing patrons with a place to relax, to read, to picnic, etc. In other words, it would add to Carrboro's park spaces. You will hear many arguments against this location tonight. You will hear everything from too much traffic to neon-lighted signs to Walmart-type buildings. You will hear the word commercial building probably used several times to describe the library, even though a library is not a commercial building and its traffic pattern is much less intense and much more spread out. Many of the fears that will be raised will be based on inaccurate or perhaps missing information. It is important to remember that when you listen to them. Traffic flow, sign regulations, security lighting, screening, and landscaping are all things that have not yet been decided. These are things that the town will be able to guide and to regulate when and if the library gets built. The site that's being considered for rezoning has many positive things to offer. The fact that it is accessible by foot, bicycle, transit, and car, and the fact that it is on the edge of downtown all meet the requirements set forth by the Library Task Force recommendations, which this board approved. There will be additional traffic, obviously, since this library would serve as a southwest branch and would serve all residents of the county, not just the residents of Carrboro. But this location would certainly cut down on the number of car trips and would be a big step toward Carrboro's goal of increasing its walkability. I absolutely think you need to listen to the concerns of nearby residents and include them completely in the process of the library's siting and its design. Just as the neighbors in Plantation Acre worked with the town when the post office was built in their neighborhood. But I also think you need to keep in mind that no site will come before you without opposition. In the end, you have the responsibility of making a decision that is right for the whole of Carrboro. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Outstanding timing. After this is Melanie Cecil, and after Melanie will be Maris Levy.
I'm Melanie Cecil, and I'm here on behalf of the Administrative Council of Carrboro United Methodist Church. So I'm going to read this so that the church's opinion is not in any way conflated with my personal opinions. Be it resolved by the Administrative Council of Carrboro United Methodist Church, meeting in regular session on March 20th, 2011, that Carrboro United Methodist Church opposes the proposed location of the Carrboro Library at the site off Hillsborough Road. This position is based on the following factors. A library at the proposed location would create traffic flow that is incompatible with the current uses of the surrounding property and create dangerous congestion on Hillsborough Road. For example, at the beginning and end of the school day at Carrboro Elementary School, left turns are prohibited from Shelton Street to Hillsborough Road and Main Street. Thus, all traffic from the school would be directed past the library entrance, creating congestion. This intersection is in front of the church. This congestion would also apply to traffic going to and from the church's daycare center, which includes parents dropping off and picking up toddlers and preschoolers. Two, it has been suggested that the existing right-of-way between the church and Carrboro Elementary School would be a possible second entrance to the library. Library traffic in this area would be dangerous. This right-of-way is now used as a parking and pedestrian area for two institutions that serve small children, Carrboro Elementary and the daycare operated by the church. The right-of-way directly abuts the playground used by the church's daycare. The daycare serves toddlers and preschoolers. Churchgoers would be in a similar situation. The right-of-way directly abuts the church building and is used as a parking and pedestrian area for Sunday services and other events. Churchgoers include people of all ages, including small children and the elderly. Three, the town ordinance states that B2 zoning is specifically designed as a transition from residential to commercial. The description of B2 zoning states that it is designed to accommodate commercial uses in areas that were formerly residential, but that now may be more desirable for commercial activities due to high traffic volumes and proximity to other non-residential districts. The ordinance states that B2 zoning contemplates conversion of existing residential structures to commercial. However, this proposed rezoning would create a commercial district in the middle of an established residential area that shows no signs of transition. There are not high traffic volumes. The proposed location of the library is not close to non-residential districts, but in the middle of established residential area. Uses listed for B2 zoning reflect the transitional character. These uses would be possible in B2 CZ, subject only to negotiation with the applicant where conditions were met. Thank you.
And we've got a copy. We have a copy.
Yeah.
Nurse Levy, and then Jerry Christmas?
I'm Naris Levy, 161 Swansea Lane, and I represent the Friends of the Carborough Library. Thanks for allowing this public hearing to take place. You have in your possession a petition of 313 names and signatures of Orange County residents collected by the Friends of the Carborough Branch Library during March 2011. Many of them are in the area of contention around the school and the proposed library site. All of those who have put their names on the petition have affirmed their support for the rezoning of 210 Hillsborough Carborough from residential to business for the sole purpose of building the Southwest Orange Regional Branch Library. This substantial number of rezoning supporters and what they are requesting cannot be ignored. Every petition signator who was spoken to by signature collectors was so excited at the prospect of an accessible, full-service, freestanding library in the center of Carborough. Many were parents with small children who will grow up being able to walk to their very own library. We all trust that this evening that you will decide to rezone the proposed property for library purposes. Together we can help reverse the many negative library statistics in which Carborough currently features, such as the largest town in North Carolina without a freestanding library, and help push Orange County from being 60th in the state in library provision into being the model of a county trying to bridge the literacy and access of knowledge gaps in a state which is currently 44th in the nation for library provision. Currently, Orange County is only serving 47% of its population, and Chapel Hill, a municipal system, is only serving 52% of its population with library 52% of its population with library services. South Orange is very much underserved in terms of library provision. 210 Hillsborough Road is a safe site. It's not on a busy street, and it's close to a school. It's also located in the center of Carborough, the most densely populated town in North Carolina. Currently, this is the only site in Carborough which the county is considering. It conforms with all three of the county's library task force recommendations, and I served on all those three library task forces for a total of 7 years. Many third world capital cities would give the earth for what the county is offering the residents of Southwest Orange County, and specifically the town of Carborough. Nothing should hinder our progress as we all work together for the greater good of our community. Please accept this gift. And let's get down to planning the library now. We have no time to waste. We have been waiting 24 years for this very moment tonight. A proposed county CIP awaits in the wings for the building of this library in 2014 when this site is approved tonight. Thank you. I represent the Friends of the Carborough Branch Library, and I'm a member of three Orange County Library Task Forces.
Thank you.
All right, Jerry Christmas, and then Alexandra Brown will be next.
A difficult act to follow. My name is Jerry Christmas at 208 James Street. I'm going to speak expeditiously. I'm not too sure how this is going to come out. In the 1960s, I was a FISTA volunteer in Utah, and my job was to work with the Utah Migrant Council to help low-income housing. And we work in conjunction with the Farmers Home Administration. And you can imagine working in a very, very conservative state. We were like 53%, it was 50% Mormon. And I have nothing against the Mormons, they're fine people. It was politically extremely conservative. We're trying to put a minority low-income housing for Hispanics in their midst, 26 units. We kept it absolutely small because it's the only chance we get. We fought like crazy, but we prevailed. because I think we prevailed because the spirit of America then was to get things done and believe in each other. And I had trouble, and I still remember this young Mormon man after he, young man, after we jammed it through, after we won the fight, he was against it. He went up in the middle of this, he went up right in front of there, he said to the whole group, he said, "We have lost this fight. Let's all get together and make sure this project is a good one." And the project was a good one, because I went and researched it about 20 years ago, and it was still a viable project with migrant families still going through it. Hundreds have gone through it. Now I find myself in what is considered to be a predominantly liberal town, and we have a library that we need for all the people. I don't see it as a contentious, dangerous endeavor. And I hope that everybody pulls together as Americans, as good people, in good faith, in love with each other, because love is the only thing there is in the world, and see that this is put through after 24 years of hard fighting. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Nice Christmas message.
Alexander Brown. And then I have, Alexander, before you start, let me just, I'm not sure whether I have Bryant's and Mrs. Penninger signed up here. Are y'all going to speak or? Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay, so the next person after Alexander Brown will be Jackie Allen.
My name is indeed Alexandra Brown. I live in Bingham Township. I'm also a property owner in Carlborough. I strongly urge you to rezone 210 Hillsborough Road. We have, as everyone has mentioned, been waiting for a library that will serve all of Southwest Orange County for some time. We are counting on you to make the right decision. Libraries are not a luxury, they're a necessity. Not all citizens have computer and internet access at home. Children need to do research, people need to look for jobs, families need a place where they can go and spend time together that doesn't cost any money. For the students of Carlborough Elementary and their parents, a library on the site would be a godsend. It will enable those children to have the same opportunities as children from more affluent families. A library in Carlborough will also be a boon for local business, as people like myself who live outside Carlborough will patronize Carlborough businesses when we come to the library. With respect to this particular location, it is ideal. It's also the only viable option. Some have expressed concerns about traffic, but again, this is not a commercial space. This is not a movie theater. It's not a grocery store. It's a library. Traffic will be gradual. The whole point of having a library within town limits is so that people have access. People have access on foot, by bike, by public transportation. There are a lot of people in Southwest Orange County and in Carlborough who don't have access to a car of their own. And I'll sum this up quickly because I know that everyone's going to be saying more or less the same thing, at least on my side here. But in my opinion, the county is offering the citizens of Carlborough and the neighborhoods like my own a gift. It's a gift of knowledge, education, the chance for a child from a poor family to have the same opportunities as a child from a wealthy one, for a struggling citizen to look for work, a family to have a safe and fun place to be together. All you need to do to accept this gift is to rezone 210 Hillsborough Road. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, Jackie Allen and then Alex Bull.
My name is Jackie Allen. I live at 123 Pine Street. I'm in 1,000 feet of the proposed library site, and I do support the rezoning of 210 Hillsborough Road. I think that this is a site that is a place that many people can walk to, can bicycle to, can take the CW bus, which stops very near the library site. I think it would be wonderful for the community, for young and old alike. I think that the safety issues are there, no question. I think you have to look at speed limits. I would not mind having the speed limit 15 or 20 miles an hour on Hillsborough Road and Pine Street as well, for that matter. There are already too many cars that will slow down for speed bumps on Pine Street after they have sped by a child on a bike
a little bit before the speed bump. So I do think that lowering the speed limit may be needed on Hillsborough Road, possibly Pine Street, possibly other streets, to make sure that there are no safety issues introduced by this library, and I would be totally in favor of that. I think that is the best way to deal with the concern about cars. I think you may want to look at whether you prohibit all parking along the driveway that goes into the library and also along the street, because that could be very problematic. I think that residents and emergency vehicles, for that matter, would have a problem if you have lots of cars parked on both sides of the street on Hillsborough Road. So that's something to consider. But I totally support the library. I think it's a wonderful location in the densest part of Carrboro, and I think it's going to be accessible to many, many people. And I hope that you'll support the rezoning of 210 Hillsborough Road. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a minute and a half there.
Hey, Steve, is Hillsborough Road a town road or a state road?
After Alan will be Jeff Rubish.
Good evening. I'm Alan Spalt. I live at 300 James Street and have since with my family since 1984. And this library is a long time coming. Many people have worked really hard to get a library in Carrboro, and there have been partial attempts. The Cybrary and the Google Library certainly are part of what we need, but not at all what we need. And what we need is a real freestanding library. I think that it's a misnomer to call this a commercial use, even though technically it's going into a commercial zone, or the zone, if you change the zone, would be commercial. A library is not a commercial operation. It's a public service, and it is really ideal that it is next to the school, where it could share some facilities, perhaps some parking. I don't think the location is perfect. There are places in town where I have thought a library would be really good that we either missed or they weren't available or we didn't have the money. This is one of those cases where the perfect shouldn't be the enemy of the good, because this site has a lot of things going for it. Its principal problem, I think, is access. And if you walk, as I did down today, to see where the driveway would go to the library, at first blush it looks like it's really going right through somebody's yard. And it is going through somebody's yard, but it's going through their yard partly because they have made their yard out into the right-of-way. And that right-of-way was designed and intended to be a multifamily driveway for the five houses behind that could have been built, or could still be built if you don't make this change. And so I think that we have to recognize that what is being proposed, if the driveway went off Hillsborough, would be larger and more intrusive on some individuals than they anticipated. And we should work to mitigate that. One possible suggestion is to use access through Shelton Street. I doubt if the school will be enthusiastic about that. But it's a public right-of-way, and there are reasons that it could be used. You could even have one way in and one way out to Hillsborough, or something like that that's creative, that reduces the size of traffic and so forth. So I urge you to consider mitigation and alternative access. But I really do support, and Susan joins me in supporting, the rezoning of this property to allow a library to be built. There's money available now to buy this property. If we don't buy a site, that money will be gone, and we'll be back here for the next 24 years looking for a library. And I don't think we want to do that. So please rezone it and continue the public process. Thank you.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Jeff Rubish and then Barbara Rubish.
My name's Jeff Rubish. I live at 214 Hillsborough Road. My grandfather was Miles Andrews, who built the home in 1920. Now, his family were a fourth generation living in that residence. I urge each and every one of your board members to go to that location before you vote and make a decision to see that a 60-foot road is going back, whether you call it a library, whatever you're building, a 20,000-square-foot, one-story building on 2.6 acres in my backyard. My family has spent 100 years in this neighborhood and so forth, and I hate to, and I urge you, you will destroy that historic neighborhood. I've been proposed in the last meeting of the planning department, they mentioned that if this library goes in, there's a good chance that Hillsborough Road will be widened and be able to put a turn lane in. You mentioned earlier by the county that they had 11 parking spaces in Orange County on their new library. This is 67 to 72 parking spaces that they've mentioned. That's 251 cars they mentioned last week on one specific day. That means there'll be over 700 vehicles entering and exiting that between two residential homes. I asked the group here, you had 330 people that signed the petition for the library. I want to make sure that people understand that's promoted and signed the opposition to the library and those who promoted it. It's not anything about a library we're opposing the location. I ask those people in this group to please raise your hands, those that oppose the location of the library in this room, please. I also ask you, if you look at the petition that was signed by the library promoting that location, how many of them actually live in Carborough? It's filed in the 2020 visions that we mentioned last 2 weeks over with your planning department. They came up with a recommendation with you that this was not a suitable location, that they urged you to find another location. That's what that was mentioned. They didn't vote. They had four in favor and two against. One did not vote. In your 2020 vision that was promoted and provided by Mike Nelson, it states some things that are 27 points in this vision that are conflicting statements that the library has put together. Item one, development through Carborough should be consistent and distinctive town character. The town should adhere to policies that limit widening of roads, encourage plantings along roadside, preserve historic areas, buildings, and older neighborhoods. My grandfather would turn over his grave to know that you were even considering this and taking the time to put a commercial building where you call the library or not. Item two, R2 was proposed by a residential committee, and it states that R10, a residential which it is zoned now, could use immediately a 3,500 square foot library. It says to secure for the persons who reside there a comfortable, healthy, safe, pleasant environment in which to live, sheltered for incompatible and disruptive for the property on non-residential districts.
Jeff, can you hold on 1 second? Barbara, would you like to give him a little bit of your time? Or? Sure. All right. Hey, Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I'm not moving out of this town. You will not run me out of this town. My children, I hope, will have their children in this home. This is not a B2 fringe commercial in your group. Talks about district as a transitional district designed to accommodate commercial uses in the area that were formerly residential. Mm-hmm. If you allow this, you will destroy every beautiful historic home on that neighborhood. Also, in response to your questions that's provided by the county, it says, how do the potential uses of the new district classifications relate to the existing character of the area? The surrounding is subject to partial range, north, single-family residence, south, single-family residence, common multifamily residence. Then it goes on to say the condominium's offices, but that's on Main Street, your new beautiful building on Main Street. That didn't go through too good either, I don't believe. So be cautious and be slow to make a decision. Single-family residences on the east, Carver Elementary School, my grandfather sold the Carver Elementary School in or around 1960 for $100. If you can't find someone over 24 years that can donate the property to Carborough, the county has come in here and basically said, either take it or leave it. That's not a very good ultimatum. They also mentioned that we can do eminent domain. That's what they said last Thursday. Now, I take that as a threat. Now, they can't do that if you don't zone it the way they want it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Barbara, you've got about a minute and a half if you want to go for it. I'll let y'all work out between you whether he went on too long.
My name is Barbara Robish, and I live at 214 Hillsborough Road. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your citizens and understand our wishes. Jeff mentioned most of the things that I had actually mentioned or had planned to say myself. I just also wish to remind everybody that this is going to be there forever. It's a 20,000-square-foot building that will be there forever. The library may not be there forever. They've already moved the one in Hillsboro. They moved the one in Chapel Hill off of Franklin Street. Now that building sits there empty. The one in Hillsboro, where the library was located, is still sitting there empty. What am I supposed to do with a 20,000-square-foot building in my backyard that's sitting there empty? Something's going to go in it, and they intend it to only be a library, but that's not always what happens. Intentions are great, but it's not always what happens. So I just really want you to consider the fact that we aren't opposed to having a library. We'd love to have a library, but I think that threatening that this is the only location is really not a fair assessment, because there are other locations available, and if we can't pursue those locations, then if we need a library and the county's willing to donate or provide us with a library, why is it so important to have it in just that one spot? Why can't we seek alternative locations? Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
All right. Up next is, I believe, another descendant of Miles Andrews, Bobby Stanford. And then after Bobby will be Dolly Trantafilo.
Yes, you're correct. My name is Bobby Stanford. I live at 1800 North Greensboro Street. I was a resident on Hillsboro Road for 20 years. I am a third-generation Carver resident, and I want you to understand I am not against having a library. I am very much in favor of a library. There may be a few other people here. I remember actually coming up here and checking out books in a room on the other side of this building when there was a library in this building. So I am by no means against the library. One of the things that I loved about growing up in Carver was the fact that neighbors looked after each other. They took care of each other. It was a real community. And I have sensed over the last few years a change in that spirit of citizens towards their neighbors. And I think this is a really good example. One of the changes in Carver that I don't care for is that there seems to be a single-mindedness on the part of many who are in favor of this library, that there needs to be a library no matter where it goes, no matter who it impacts. And I find that to be appalling in that it demonstrates a lack of caring for your neighbors, for your citizens of Carver. I ask all of you who are in favor of this, would you want this going in your backyard?
Yes.
Would you want, well then, fine. But you have to consider that these homes where this street is going to be cut off of Hillsboro Road will be surrounded on three sides by the traffic going to this library, by the activities that will be taking place in this library. So it's really asking just a few people to take a great burden of the placement of this library in this area. There is no doubt there will be a traffic problem. One of the things I find sort of interesting is this talk about, yes, we want it to be where it is walkable, where people have access to it. But it serves a very large region of southern Orange County, and there will be cars coming in and out of that library. If there are not cars, then to me that's an indication that the library is being underutilized. So I think you really have to look at the traffic issues of the cars. Shelton Street, I don't think, is a great option. It puts the burden of all of that on Hillsboro Road. It's already a problem there where Shelton Street empties onto Hillsboro, which then empties onto Main Street. So you need to look at that very carefully. The zoning, I don't know, somehow I thought that zoning protects the residents of an area where they live. And it seems to me that we take it very lightly that zoning can be changed. I ask that you not change this zoning to commercial.
in the very center of a residential area. I do not think that is appropriate. Most of all, I ask that you be open-minded. Each one of you be open-minded when considering this. I'm sure there are some, we all want a library. I know all of you would like to have a library. I imagine there are some of you who are on the group of Friends of the Library. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next person signed up is, I'm never sure how to pronounce Dolly's last name.
Trient.
Triantafilo.
My name is Dolores Triantafilo. I live at 114 Cheswick Court in Carrboro. I'm a member of the board of the Friends of the Carrboro Branch Library. I'm very proud to be a member of the Friends because that's why we're here this evening. The Friends advocated for 24 years to have a library. Former mayor and now state senator Ellie Kinnaird realized that we were not servicing adequately a large population of the county. And she had a vision in 1987 that we needed to have a freestanding library eventually. She got together a group of citizens of various walks of life, and we formed the Friends of the Carrboro Branch Library. The Friends were there when McDougal Middle School was being built, and they advocated to see if we could share a space in a public school for a small library for 5 years. We've been there 15 years. Then the Friends were interested again and advocated again when the Baptist Church in downtown Carrboro was being renovated to become a recreation center. We wondered if perhaps we could have a full-size library in that building. It was not to be. Instead, the town provided a small space with computers and a reading room. Now it's 2011, and here we are again. If not now, then when? Also, before I go, I'd like to speak for those who did not live long enough to see their dream realized, such people as Steve Peck, Rebecca Eikenberry, Molly Hargraves, Frances Hargraves, Bob Levy, Betty Gerber, Linda Frank, Albert Sawyer, and finally, Mary Frances Eldridge, who breathed her last breath while volunteering in the Carrboro Branch Library in 2010. Now, I certainly hope that all of this untiring advocacy will be taken into account, and you'll all vote yes to the rezoning for the people of Southwest Orange County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dolly. Lori Hoyt and then Kathy Gunn.
I'd like to ask something. Would somebody at least get up and be unlikable so that these decisions will be easier for us?
Really,
yeah, somebody be really rude or nasty or something. Make it easier.
Thanks, Lori. Are you going to sing? I'm going to be very short because I weren't prepared to speak tonight. But when I was growing up, we didn't have very much money, and I was shocked to find out in third grade when I asked the girl in the desk next to me, I saw this yummy-looking book on her desk, and I said, when we finished, could I borrow it? She said, it's a library book. And I said, what's that? And she said, you know, that's where they have books. And I said, well, how much does it cost? Because I already knew that most things cost and I wouldn't be able to afford it. And she said it was free. And I just felt I had been given like $100 million. It was the beginning of a lifelong love affair for me with libraries. And it has meant so much to me and has enriched my life.
And the branch library at McDougall School has just been a wonderful, wonderful place for me. So I love libraries. I hear the residents, and I feel really sad because feeling that it's going to be a lot of traffic, and I'm sympathetic to their concerns. But it's after 24 years, I mean, where is there a place? And wherever we find a place, if it's going to be downtown, there's going to be objections from somebody. So I guess wherever, if we're going to have a library, there's always going to be some people who it's not going to make them very happy. And so I just hope you will support changing the zoning, because to me, being downtown, I would love to have it next door to me. I live on Fidelity Street, and there was a dry cleaners there. There's now a medical building, and I remember earlier on saying, could we buy that for the library? Couldn't there be space there? I'd love to live next door to a library. It would be the joy of my life. But I understand concerns for other people, and I am sympathetic. But I think being downtown, where for a lot of us we can walk, where there is a bus, I just hope that you will consider it and pass that resolution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Lord. Thanks, Lord. Kathy Gunn, and then Chaz Gardner.
Hey. Thanks for having me tonight. My name's Kathy Gunn. I live at 212 Hillsboro Road. And yes, Dan, our property is about 20 feet from the property line. We're as close as we can be. So it's pretty close. Let's see. In its petition to rezone, Orange County states that the proposed library site is currently a transitional district, which is designed to accommodate commercial uses in areas that formerly were residential. But now may be more desirable for commercial activities. Based on what? Oh, yeah, higher traffic volumes and proximity to other non-residential districts. Wait a minute, Orange County. You aren't describing my neighborhood. You're describing what my neighborhood would be like after you put the library there. This rezoning will set an extremely dangerous precedent for all residential properties near downtown Carrboro, not just my neighborhood. Yep. Carrboro Methodist feels the same way. They fear that rezoning this property will eventually weaken the neighborhood and therefore the fabric of the church. Churches thrive best when they're in residential areas. Carrboro Elementary states in its letter that while they feel strongly that the community needs access to a public library, they too have concerns about increased traffic and pedestrian safety, about using school property as a cut-through to get to the library. They do not want to share parking. In other words, there can be no synergy between the library and the elementary school. Adjoining property owners take pride in the peacefulness and the historic value of the neighborhood. Some of these houses are almost 100 years old and are an asset to the town. And Dot Taylor Center even placed a deed restriction on this very property in order to avoid the issues we're talking about today. At their meeting last week, the planning board also noted inconsistencies in the petition regarding the location. The planning board is correct that there are major inconsistencies in the petition. So instead of ponying up another $10,000 to retain the option on this property, the county should put that money toward finding a library location that doesn't bring with it so many issues. Somewhere it would be welcomed wholeheartedly and embraced by the community in which it will reside. Thank you.
Thanks,
Kathy.
Thank
you, Kathy. Chaz Gardner, and then Philippa Harrison will be after that.
Try to keep it brief. I'm here representing myself, and more importantly, I want to speak for the future generations, my children, as well as others who for thousands, you know, thousands of people who could possibly benefit from the library for years to come. Everything I've heard about the rezoning sounds fairly sensitive, but the neighbors have taught me a lot about the views and what's going on here. My reasons for also wanting to talk are quite selfish. I was raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there's one of the most extensive library systems through the Carnegie family, and almost every township closer you get to Pittsburgh, you can't go through another town without stumbling on another library. I lived in St. Louis for a few years, and it was a beautiful library about a half hour from my home, and I would watch the old retired men come in the morning and just think, wow, what a lovely way to spend your retirement, just walking over to the library in the morning. So I think sometimes when you will something, it's nice to maybe see that happen. We will for a coffee shop, and now we have the Looking Glass across the street. But I live at 101 Fidelity Street, about a stone's throw away from here. And I do understand congestion. I lived for 8 years between Pritchard and Church Streets, probably one of the worst possible places to live in downtown Chapel Hill, especially between the hours of 12 and 2. You should be more afraid of student housing going on this property than the library. We had PA systems blasting music into our home until 3 o'clock every night for close to 8 years, until I moved to Carrboro. Now I have a 24-hour gym at times, a BP across the street, a fire station, and a town hall in my backyard practically, and it is as quiet as a mouse. I moved here, you could hear a pin drop at night. I love walking my dogs up Main Street and sometimes seeing deer coming at me the other way. So it's I understand congestion, and we view these things as an asset, especially on Saturday mornings for the farmer's market and things like that. But it's common to see listings in Carrboro boasting homes in walking distance to school, farmer's market, Johnny's. I see that in the real estate section, walk to Johnny's. And adding a library to that only increase the monetary value, yes, of your property, but it would also have cultural benefits as well, and immeasurable cultural benefits, I feel, for generations to come. So in conclusion, I just felt it would be negligent if my children knew that I didn't do everything possible to possibly bring a library to our town. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. All right, thanks, Jess, and welcome to Carrboro. Relatedly. Philippa Harrison and then Bethany Cheney will be next. We would love to have you at the mic because then people who are listening at home can hear you.
Or you could use that mic right there. If
no, I don't mean to be bossy.
Well, I'm not one that likes speaking before a group. However, there's some things that are dear to my heart that I would like to mention. I've been a substitute teacher for the last 16 years, middle school, high school level. And time after time, you have the same kids who come unprepared. Now, why do they come unprepared? They don't have a computer at home. They don't have the kind of help that they need at home, which they could get at a library. So I've petitioned with this group many times, and I would just like to say the quickest way we can get this done, let's do it. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, that was a new record.
Is there a challenge out there?
It was 40 seconds for any of you who want to top it. Thank you, Ms. Harrison. Bethany Cheney and then Ashley Stamp.
I submitted my comments earlier to the board, but I did want to go on record tonight, so I'm going to read. Sorry. I propose taking walkability off the table as a decision rule for whether to rezone this property for the purposes of a library. I challenge the Orange County Board of Commissioners, the Carrboro Board of Aldermen, and the Friends of the Library to instead apply a social justice framework to determining the best location for the library. Siting the library and the walkability perimeter of downtown Carrboro will primarily benefit already asset-rich town residents. As the FAQ on the county's own website suggests, the library will lift property values for those who own nearby. By extension, then, this location will economically benefit a lot of white property owners and will logistically benefit a lot of white renters because the housing in the area in question is predominantly owned and rented by this demographic. I should note that I own property on Hillsborough. I'm white, and that I believe the library would benefit me economically and in all other ways But particularly at a time when public resources are scarce, the best use of public investment is for facilities and activities that address the asset, income, and or quality of life disparities faced by a large and growing proportion of our community, such as the need for affordable housing near downtown, for improved infrastructure in low-income neighborhoods, or for better equipped and less crowded schools. A library on this proposed site does not help to rectify these disparities. I would argue that it would exacerbate them. Affordable housing or expanded quality school facilities on the site would help address these disparities, and I would wholeheartedly support either option. If more equitable social considerations and walkability are taken into account, I suspect that other sites in the southern part of the county that are available now and that are already zoned commercial will become much more attractive. I have one site specifically that I know about on Merrimore Road that I won't talk about, even though I'm not trying to sell it or anything, but there are locations that are closer to predominantly low-income or minority neighborhoods that could benefit from the asset more than my neighborhood needs to benefit from the asset of a library. So let's not lose the opportunity to make our public facilities truly accessible and equitably beneficial to county residents. For me to be satisfied that this is the right site for this library, I'd like to know that the town has analyzed the opportunity costs of both rezoning the property and losing tax values, losing impact fees, and so on and so forth, but also the lost benefits that could be accrued in areas that really need the benefits the most. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I live at 118 and a half Fidelity and own property at 217 Hillsborough.
All right, Ashley Stanford and then Dorothy Taylor Center.
Ashley Stanford, live on 1800 North Greensboro Street, used to live on Hillsborough Road. I think everybody here has made good points. And I think it really boils down to is whether this location is appropriate. And I think if you look at the Vision 20, you look at the descriptions and intentions of the town code, there's no way you can put it in there. The school that's cited as being a public facility, which I guess is probably correct, was a county school outside the city limits when it was built. It was pulled in. It is zoned R10. It's R10 at the church. You're putting this, if it were to pass, it's not a proximity. It's not close to the business district. It's in the middle of a residential area. And it's an inappropriate location for a library. It's an inappropriate location for any kind of public facility or commercial development. Because it's in a neighborhood, and it's in a long-established neighborhood. It's people that care a lot about where they live. I'm not going to belabor the points. I think I'll just say that I'm opposed to it. And I think if you search your conscience and look at the code and the intent of what Carver has done over the last 20 years, you can't vote for it.
Thanks, Ashley.
Dorothy Taylor Center, and then Marty Mandel.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here and talk with you again. My name is Dorothy Taylor Center, and I've lived at 208 Hillsborough Road for the past 18 years. A library would be a very valuable amenity for Carborough, but only if we can put it in an appropriate location. And I don't believe 210 Hillsborough Road is the right location. You've already heard a lot about the traffic, which is one of my major concerns. I understand there's not actually been a traffic analysis done yet, and that there would not be a traffic analysis prior to any rezoning. But you really don't have to be an expert at knowing that it would just be a big mess. It would have a big impact on every person on that street and the surrounding streets. I also want to mention that there is a deed restriction on the property. It was put there by the previous owners, and I was one of that group. And that was done to limit the development because we wanted to support the neighborhood and the small town feel of the town. Anytime you have development that's not really congruent with the neighborhood values, it places a high demand on that neighborhood, and it starts to unravel the fabric that you have there. The demands on the community, if we rezone this area, will far outweigh the benefits of a library. I think it's important to understand all the views when you're trying to make a decision of this magnitude. And so I've really tried to look at the other side and understand what are we trying to do here. And as I've tried to get more information, I've actually found more questions than I found answers. Citizens have been asking for a library for more than 20 years. And it seems that this is the first time there's actually been a recommended site. And so why is it after 20-something years, all of a sudden there's only one site that, you know, that seems to be possible? I mean, if I'm shopping and trying to choose a product, I'm going to comparison shop. I'm going to know what's my criteria for choosing something, and I'm going to know what the non-negotiables are of that. I can't figure it out for the library. There's no information presented about comparison of other sites. If the criteria for the site is the Carlboro 2020 plan, that's not really been wholly met. You've already heard that from other people. And I wonder, what are the non-negotiables on this library site? I haven't heard that either, so I'd really like to know those things. There's a sense of urgency that's been created or communicated by Orange County for the purchase. And after 20 years, why is it that you have to buy them now? I mean, it kind of feels like you're watching TV at 3 in the morning where they say, this is your last chance. You don't get another chance if you don't buy today. The lack of transparency in the site selection coupled with that urgency is really troubling for me. And shouldn't we be taking the time to step back and look at choosing the best possible site and the best choice? Thank you.
Thank you.
That worked out perfectly. Marty Mandel and then Blair Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think this is the most unusual public hearing I've nearly ever been to, and you may feel the same way. We all favor the library. The issue is, where will that library go? And that is an issue. I think that this location is a dreadful location for reasons you've already heard from everybody else. I was really relieved to hear the mayor say that he's being called about other choices, and I think that's what we need to pursue. I hope you will figure out a way to let's see what is really suitable and then get us all together and push for a library. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
Oh, don't worry, we know where Marty lives.
Pine Street.
On Pine Street. 116, is it? 116. Blair Pollack and then Richard Ellington. And by the way, that was 38 seconds.
We're going to have to speak fast. Good evening, Blair Pollack, 6421 Hardwood Drive, Chapel Hill. I am a card-carrying member of both libraries. Been a card-carrying library member since 1957. I think it's a great idea for Carver to have a library in town. In fact, when I first moved to Carver, I actually looked into renting from Marty, so we go way back. I appreciate all of the effort that's gone into siting a library. I think this is not a particularly good site. I think it's a lot of money to spend on a piece of land right now. And although it's a little bit, you know, because of the context of the hearing about this is a rezoning hearing, I'm just going to step outside the frame and say, if you should choose to approve a building for the downtown northwest corner of Weaver and Greensboro, you know, we'll call it the CVS site for purposes of expediency. I think putting the library on the third floor of that site would be grand. You have a terrific view. You could have the kind of coffee shop that Seattle and Portland libraries have. And just there's wonderful synergy between their library and coffee business. And I can't imagine a better place to want to read and take my coffee than the third floor of that building. I think it would suit a lot of Carver's interest in improving downtown and making it even more vibrant than it already is, if that's even possible, and also avoid using that valuable piece of land and making a synergy with a private investor that's got plenty of money to design a great building. And the last thing I'd like to say about it is the libraries of the future aren't going to look like the libraries of the last 100 years. Every time you step out, you'll see another person with an e-reader and another e-book and another bookstore closes. So we need to look forward and look at a lot more opportunities to do an electronic library. And so when I talk about that smaller footprint of the third floor of a building, you know, 5 and 10 years from now, many more of our resources are going to be media-based. There's not going to be that much of a need for books. We can have potentially a smaller book collection, put a lot more money into the resources that our children are really going to need to be competitive and understand what's going on. And for us older folks who are barely caught on to computers, it'll be a tremendous opportunity to learn a lot more. So I hope you really rethink not only the site, but the whole process, and consider those alternative sites and library designs. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob. Richard Ellington and then Rich Barrow.
My name is Richard Ellington, and I live at 109 Bruton Drive. You've all seen me here many times before. I'm here to speak in support of the library and against this location. This area, as has been pointed out before, has been a residential location for 90-odd years now. Yeah. And I think to interject this particular scenario into that neighborhood is just asking for trouble. You know, we've all heard of the story about, you know, you take a frog and drop him in a pot of hot boiling water and he'll jump right out. But you put him in that pan of water and then you turn that heat up slowly and he'll end up getting cooked without even being known about it.
Is that what you're doing with your retirement?
When you got time, you can do one.
Sorry. Who's the frog in the metaphor? That's what I'm
This library may be that frog. So, Blair just mentioned some of the flap over CVS. We're talking about a building in downtown Carver that's already basically zoned and whatever, and there's a big flap over putting a building that's already suited in a suitable place. And yet, there's no concern here about taking a building that's not suitable and putting it in an unsuitable place. So I there's a dichotomy there. I don't understand.
It's actually not already zoned.
Well, I think his point is it's zoned.
My point is it's in the commercial district in the town.
Right.
And, a lot of it needs to be in an accessible area. One thing we keep talking about is this is Carver's Library. It's not Carver's Library. It's Southwest Orange's Library. There are people 15 miles to the west of us here that are going to have to drive 15 miles in to get to that library. There's a lot of places between here and that 15 miles that that library could be put that's a lot more accessible, that won't cost $600,000+, that to me would make a lot more sense. We have heard that this basically the county is saying, you know, put up or shut up, this might be it. Well, I was just served on a task force with the county of about a year and a half ago, Heritage Center task force, and we were told by the county that they didn't have a dime to spend on anything. And now they've got $600,000 to blow on 6.9 acres. I don't understand that. There's something I'd like to get addressed. We need to think about, you know, the folks that aren't in Carville. This is not our library. As much as we'd like to think we're getting a library, it's not our library. There's been some mention made about some things that would, you know, this being, I think, a revolutionary idea as opposed to an evolutionary process here. In retrospect, look at 605 West Main Street. A lot of people think that wasn't such a good idea after the fact. What you're looking at is the very same thing right here. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
Rich Bell and then Robert from Pine Street.
Hi, my name is Rich Bell. I'm at 102 Pine Street. And I very much hear that there's been a long, hard fight for a library, and understand very much this whole desire for closure, and actually join the ranks of people who would fear if a library were never built. And given the history, the concerns about that. But when I saw the county's proposal calling this an optimal site, I thought that was a bit too much. For me, it seems very disappointing. As a site, I think it has significant access issues, connectivity issues. It carries significant mitigation costs with it that probably ought to be factored in to the budget. I think it has significant opportunity costs that we're going to have to live with for a very long time if we choose this site. The core of downtown is a great place for a library. There's a lot of synergy. It's good for the library. The library is good for it. They add value to each other. There have been a lot of other comments in that regard tonight. I think the concern of the neighbors on Pine Street, many of which couldn't make it tonight, is, you know, like the fear of library proponents that it won't get built, the fear for, I think, Pine Street residents is that in that conditional use process, that either the county or the town won't conduct all the mitigation necessary. They've seen commitments to their sidewalk go away in the past. They already bear an unreasonable amount of the traffic, a disproportionate amount of traffic. They don't necessarily believe that Shelton will get connected, the sidewalks will be built, we'll look at Old Carborough's street network with the very long-term east-west access problems that dump tons of traffic on High Street and Pine Street. They don't believe that that's going to get done within the bounds of the project. And so I wanted to speak to those. I think it's really tucked away just too much as a little pod, and it doesn't have the value it could have. So I'd rather see us find a site and commit to a site closer to the core of downtown Carborough soon so that we can allay fears about the library being built.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Robert.
Pine Street, Robert.
Dorn. Dow.
Robert Dow, live at 105 Pine Street. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I have 3 points of concern about this proposal. The first is the rezoning. It seems that rezoning residential properties fringe commercial allows the seller both a larger pool of potential buyers and the potential for a higher sale price. But this benefit really comes at a significant cost to the adjoining and near adjacent properties. The impacts to tree coverage, lighting, noise, and safety for those around the site are significantly increased for a commercial property, even a library. I admit it's less bad than it could be compared to the placement of residential dwellings on the site. Residences surround this property on all sides save one, and I don't imagine most of my neighbors would be too thrilled if I wanted to put an Exxon station on my lot. Second, the placement of the proposed library, we've discussed this ad nauseum. This property is some 7/10 of a mile from Carver's downtown by road. It's 15 minutes to walk, 5 minutes to ride, 3 minutes to drive, and between 9 and 14 by bus. The Carver 2020 vision plan is a stated aim of concentrating development in the downtown core, and yet we've suffered with empty lots and unused properties on at least three major sites over the past 5 years in the downtown area. Including the site of the proposed CVS, the temporary parking lot adjacent to Open Eye, and the parking lot behind Armadillo. These, at one point or another, have all been in play, and any of them would have suited Carborough in terms of putting a library in the downtown core. This placement doesn't really benefit younger patrons, older patrons, or those with mobility challenges, and it doesn't really serve to reduce road traffic overall. Finally, the impact in terms of safety and congestion on the adjoining neighborhoods. Both Pine and Shelton currently bear disproportionate levels of traffic at peak times due to the library and to the school and the daycare. In Pine Street's case, to which I can speak personally, the non-continuity of Estes Extension causes a residential street to be used heavily as a through street. This issue is exacerbated during the morning school drop-off period when the one-way exit from the school causes excessive vehicle traffic on the street, making it significantly less safe for residents who are walking, biking, or driving in or out of the neighborhood. To rely on the street even further as a connector street, as on Shelton and Ash and other streets in that vicinity, does not achieve proper connectivity and significantly impacts safety. So thank you for your time. I hope you will vote against this.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
All right, that completes the list of people who signed up. What I would like to propose is that we now take about a 5-minute recess, And when we come back, if there are others who did not get a chance to sign up on the sign-up sheet who feel that somehow their perspective has not yet been represented by the preceding 28 speakers, we'll recognize those people, and then the board will have some discussion and we'll decide how and when we're going to take this matter back up. Thanks. 5 minutes. Okay.
What? They said something about an abandoned road or something. Did you hear that tomorrow? Someone said something about
that. No, okay. I can explain what that was about.
Okay, but I didn't understand that either.
That's not part of the disaster.
Mark?
Okay.
Sorry.
Just in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll please take your seats and begin whispering, that would be great. Is there anybody who has not had a chance to address the board who would like to do so? I have one more person who signed up during the break. So, David, Jesse, if you'll come up to the podium.
I bought my site plan from a property that was possibly considered. Can I put it here so we can see it?
Can you put that up, please? Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm
turn it so north is at the top.
Like this?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, yeah, so here's Greensboro Street and here's Shelton Street. And the proposed site is off over on this way. At the other end of Shelton Street. So the reason why I'm coming up here is because, you know, this whole process made me really sad. My wife and I tried to donate part of this property over here to the library because we really thought it would be a better site. And we offered to match the price of the other parcel. And it really didn't go anywhere. And
Dave, could you point out your property, please?
I'm sorry?
Point on the map where that property is.
Point on the map, please.
My property is three parcels. It's this parcel right here, and then two parcels in the back. It backs up to the train tracks. This is Southern States, and here's Harris Teeter. So we're right downtown. And I had some pretty lofty ideas about extending the Libicotton Bikeway through there. And Chapel Hill North is their proposed route goes through there. And I know that doesn't necessarily serve people from Southwest Orange County, but as far as synergies, I really thought it was a wonderful opportunity for everyone, especially the lower income neighborhoods that are over to the, I guess, to the west. And
east.
Sorry. The other west. And so I guess the reason why I'm up here is to say that I really do feel like there were other options, and I don't understand why this process got pigeonholed. I am sensitive to the notion that it's the county going and looking for property, and if they just broadcast that they're looking for property, then people are going to come out of everywhere and try to sell their property for whatever they can. So I understand that it needed to be kind of secretive because they're spending county money or tax money, but my wife and I came forward when we found out they were looking, and we offered our property to them, and we did everything we could. We even wrote them a letter. We put our charity hats on. We tried to give away essentially $500,000 because my property was under contract for $1.1 million a year before that, and they offered us $625,000 for it. And we thought, well, how can we do that? The tax value is $943,000 already, which is the value they put on it. So what we decided was we'll sell you the back two parcels and then donate the front parcel, and you can look at that property and the one that we're talking about tonight. You can look at them side by side, and the public can decide. Well, that's just not what went down, and I still don't understand why. But I'm up here to say that there are other options. I've heard talk that maybe there's some synergy with the 301 West Main. With the Art Center. I don't know if there's any traction there or not, but you know, I haven't heard it talked about tonight, so I'm bringing it up right now. And also, down at the bottom of Greensboro Street, I had the Triumph property down there under contract for a year. What's wrong with that site? I mean, obviously, the place floods. but it hasn't flooded in 3 years. And when the flooding is over, it drains right out of there. And you know what? Who else could come up and make something happen down there except the county? And get the DOT to actually do something about it and plug in the right pipe so the thing won't flood anymore.
Thanks, Dave.
You know? That's it.
Thanks, Dave.
It's going to go on for a couple hours.
So that's why we have the timer. All right. Thanks, David. All right. So, do members of the board have any additional questions they'd like to ask to the county staff at this point or to town staff? I think my thought is that I think the town staff is planning on at this point on having the Board of Aldermen having this matter back before the Board of Aldermen on April 19th. We understand that if the Board of Aldermen is able to make a decision one way or another about this matter on the 19th, that that would be a time frame that would work for the county in terms of the terms of their agreement with the seller of this property. And I think, I know the members of the board will all have some comments that they'll want to make at that time. I guess the primary question I have right now is, what additional information do we need from the applicant and or from the town staff in order to be able to reach a decision on the 19th? Sammy, and then Lydia, and then Jack.
So, I mean, obviously this is something that needs some thought and I think further information. Some of the things I would like to know are if there is, I guess this is a question, just I'd like our attorney to clarify for everyone. If we do approve the zoning and it comes back for conditional use, it will become quasi-judicial. And if the findings of the traffic analysis are such that they're deemed unsafe, our understanding is we'll still have an opportunity to deny it.
Well, it will be a quasi-judicial matter, and therefore, if they fail to comply with all the requirements of the ordinance, it could be denied. Also, if there's a finding that there's a problem with public health or safety, or that it's not compatible with the, not consistent with the land use plan, or that it would adversely affect adjoining property values, then it could be denied on those bases, just like any other CUP. I think probably the only qualification I would make on that is it would be difficult to turn it down on the basis that it's an inappropriate use or it's not a use, that the use is not, let me back up a second, there are four findings that could be used for denial on a CUP, and one that I didn't mention was harmony with the area. I think it would be difficult to deny a project deny it on that basis of not being in harmony with the area. If you were to rezone it for the specific purpose of the library, obviously it would, sitting in your legislative capacity, would be incompatible with that determination. If you would then subsequently come back and, in sitting as a quasi-judicial board, conclude that it's not in harmony with the area, having just rezoned it for a library.
Right.
But the other issues, I think, would still be in play, i.e., impact on adjoining property values. Public health and safety, meaning traffic matters, and possibly conformity with the land use plan.
So we would, if we found it to be contrary to public health on traffic grounds, then the county would likely have to sell it because they wouldn't be able to do anything with that property after they bought it, in essence.
there is an element of risk that even with the zoning of the property, should it be granted, as Mr. Harvey indicated, that he recognized in his opening remarks that the board could still, that the rezoning does not guarantee that the library will be permissible on that site. They'd still have to go through this conditional use permit process, and if they fail to comply with the ordinance, they don't get a permit, and if they didn't get a permit, they would be, I presume at that point, there would be an application to rezone it to some other district.
Okay. Some other things, well, obviously traffic is a big concern that was expressed a lot tonight. The question was brought up as to whether it would be possible to reduce the speed limit to 20. It's something I would like to know is possible or not. The other thing is there are added attributes that would probably be needed to put on this property, such as for the playground on the road, extra screening. I know in Chapel Hill there's a playground for church has on Rosemary Street that's right on the street, so that, there are playgrounds that have it on very high traffic streets. Not that that's ideal, but it does happen sometimes. The other thing was questions on, ideally if we could answer those questions before our next meeting on the feasibility of Shelton being used to minimize the width of the road that would go in from Hillsborough, so that it could be minimized to one lane as opposed to a full arm, that full width, as much as possible, would be a valuable thing to know. So access through Shelton, or whether it be access through Shelton or exit through Shelton, or vice versa, access through that leg of the property emptying out on Shelton, it's probably going to, that would be an interesting option to be considering. Someone mentioned Hillsborough Road would need to be widened. I'd like more information on Hillsborough Road's current capacity and how much more it would be able to handle relative to what is expected from a library there. The other thing brought up was this question of options, other properties to be considering, and it may not be, it's maybe a question for the applicant, if we could perhaps get a map that could show the properties of the size that would be required, 20,000 square feet, and the parking required for that, available in Carrboro, along with the boundary for what is currently zoned for that, to really have the public get a sense of, how many options there are truly in town. Because it doesn't like everyone wants that library, it's just a question of where to have it. And if we had that information, I think a lot of people would have a better way to assess where, if this is the right place or not. I think that is all I've got at this time.
Okay. Actually, before I go to you, Lydia, I'm sorry, I forgot to recognize the attorney one to address one other point.
Just one, I think two speakers had mentioned some forms of restrictions on the use of the property in one form or another, and I just wanted to emphasize what I know the board understands, and that is that those restrictions are private in nature, and encumbrances on the property are just not an issue for this board to consider. I mean, if there are restrictions that would preclude the use of the property as a library, and I don't suggest that there are or not, they are private in nature and not relevant to the board's consideration. It's all about whether the zoning is appropriate for the public health, safety, and welfare, as the board is aware. But
that issue is similar to we actually had an issue I remember a few years ago where there was a subdivision of a single lot in a I think in the watershed where there was a question about whether private covenants between neighboring property owners would prohibit the subdivision or not, and it really wasn't an issue for this board to decide. I mean, in other words, the private covenants are private. agreements, and
that's correct.
They may or may not be enforceable, or they may or may not mean various things, but what we're charged with is enforcing our ordinances, and that this, those are separate questions.
That's exactly correct.
Okay. Lydia.
Okay. Some of my questions Sandy addressed, but I have several of them, and then a point I want to make up make near the end about other possible locations. I have a couple of questions just specifically about libraries themselves, and one is we talked about the minimum square footage suggested for libraries, and it was we were told that it's, I think, 18,000 in North Carolina. I know we have some language here that originally said 20,000, and my question is whether that minimum square footage over the last several years seems to be going down a little or going up a little, depending on technologies of today. Is that something that we can look to, as someone here suggested, going to a more electronic age? We don't want to build more library than we would need to if we approve this site. Secondly, I'm interested in finding out what type of deliveries are typically made to a library, or what type of big trucks or what type of vehicles would be going to a library on a regular basis, just impacting traffic flow. Next, one of the speakers said that Carville Elementary School has said they will not share parking, and I would just like to know the genesis of that statement. I know we have a couple of letters here from Ms. Bivens and someone else with the school board, but I also recognize that within the next month or two, there certainly will be nothing definitive put in place with the school, with Carver Elementary School, but there's no question that their cooperation, the school system cooperation, and working together is a very key component of any approval of this site that we might make. And so I think it's important to get a real understanding of where the school system is coming from and that access point. And I guess the last point that I'll make here is we've had a lot of folks here talking about, you know, other sites and their interest in better locations, and as we've made clear to you, what we're doing is reviewing this site because this is the site that the county has chosen and has a contract to purchase and has asked us to review. It's a little unusual in Carborough. It's a little frustrating in a way because usually, you know, we kind of like to have, I don't want to say control, but certainly steer the ship of input when the community is trying to kind of make a major decision such as this. But I'll also say that the assistant county manager, Ms. Harvey, Gwen Harvey, she was at the planning board meeting, the last couple of planning board meetings, and talked a little bit about how the county went about selecting this site. And I don't know if now's the appropriate time, Mark, or in writing or whatever, but I do know that she provided the planning board, because they asked many of the same questions folks in this room asked, you know, why this site, why not ABC site? And I know a lot of folks here talked about the pros and cons of the site, but what I want to say to this group is I don't think the county made this decision in a vacuum. They considered a lot of different factors, and they are well aware of some of the cons of this site that are being raised tonight. So I don't know if it's appropriate to have her speak now or in some form.
If she feels prepared to address that question now, that'd be great. If not, she could respond later, if she'd prefer.
Would you choose to respond later?
Okay.
Or to be able to fully organize all of the responses to questions that you've generated?
Okay. Right. Well, we'll hear about that between now, or that is say, either April 19th or between now and April 19th about that.
Thank you.
Jackie?
I just had a very technical question. It looks like the access would either have to be on Shelton or off of Hillsboro or both. If it was off of Hillsboro, how wide would that access road be, and how much right-of-way would be required for the access road coming off of Hillsborough Street, and how much clearing would be involved in the right-of-way. So the whole shebang.
Trish, could you put back up that the GIS tax map of the property, because that raises one other one point I want to clarify. A couple of the speakers have referred to. Give me the straight overhead shot there, number 4, I think.
Sorry about that.
Wait, that's
the straight overhead headshot. Yeah. This is the straight overhead shot.
Okay. So the way that this lot touches Hillsborough Road is down that corridor that stretches down, if you'll kind of highlight where that is.
Right.
Okay. So just to clarify for purposes of our discussion, that's not a public right-of-way there. I think one or two of the speakers sort of suggested or implied that was a public right-of-way. That's actually a part of the lot that the seller owns.
Right.
And so that I can understand your question is how much of that, if that's the access down that way, how much of that 60-foot wide swath or whatever that is would actually be occupied by the driveway?
By the driveway and the clear-cut right-of-way.
Right, yeah, by all of that. By the land disturbance, disturbing activity that would happen there. Okay.
And how close would that come to the surrounding residential structures?
Right, okay.
Okay.
Jackie, could we also see if it's a two-lane or one-lane, those two options?
I don't think they... Oh, you mean to compare them? Sure.
Mark?
Yes, go ahead.
I agree that I'd like to see a traffic analysis. I like the idea of looking at Shelton as an access point. I like Alan's idea of maybe even having two one-ways, but I think, again, this is something that, you know, staff really, I'd like their take on it.
So Shelton being basically what's now the parking lot for the between the church and the
yeah.
school.
And I know that that's probably a discussion that has to... further discussions need to happen with the school district, because both the Chapel Hill Culver City School Assistant Superintendent's letter and Principal Bivens did not seem to think that it was conducive. So I think that's something that, you know, really needs to be looked at, because they really don't want that kind of connectivity. They don't want to lose that space. I think the idea of looking into the speed limit is a really good idea. It may be premature to look at that, but I guess maybe having the conversation with DOT about what could potentially happen or what potentially would be needed on Hillsborough so that there would be some conformity to moving traffic. One speaker mentioned that the left-hand turns cannot happen at certain times of day because of the school. So I think there's a lot of information that we still need to get to talk about this, and I'd like to see us do that on the 19th. I also want to thank the 30-odd people who came out and, have given their time and a lot of thought to this matter. I mean, this is huge. We have, you know, been tackling this for 20-some-odd years. Several of us were on the task force. We want a library, but we really don't want to be backed into a corner in order to get one. And I think that, it saddens me that a library could divide community, and I really don't want to see that happen.
Dan...
Clearly, all these traffic and transportation-related issues are of the highest importance on this, and I think there's a burden on the applicant, if a rezoning is granted, to come up with a plan that addresses the concerns we're hearing tonight, not only on Homestead and Shelton, but also on Pine Street. But I have two questions for staff in that regard. And the background for it is that, you know, we typically don't address traffic questions at this stage in the process. It's always done as part of the conditional use permit when we actually have a road network and bike lanes and sidewalks and all that on a map and a traffic study that's often done by some independent group hired by the applicant. And we don't have any of that now. And so my first question is, in regard to the very good questions my colleagues are asking, really, how clear an answer can we get on those at this time, and how much work is it for staff? I think we ought to consider that in regard to, you know, work that may be, where it may be conjectural given the phase we're at. And the second part of my question is maybe for Mike, which is whether the concerns about traffic, given the lack of a plan, can they inform our decision about the rezoning, given the fairly narrow criteria that we're supposed to put into play? So I guess I'm interested if you gentlemen could speak to those two points.
Well, on the first part, and Jeff's still here, but Trish, please join in. But my assumption would be there's not a lot of specificity that town staff could provide because of the nature of this rezoning. It's not a conditional use rezoning. You're not seeing a site plan. So there's to ask for specific traffic impacts, I don't know how that can be done. And one of the reasons I think the county went through this particular process, they don't have money set aside to win. They don't have money set aside for detailed site analysis now. Their plan was to, if they get the rezoning, is then to develop a budget for the site analysis and, you know, whatever traffic impacts and so forth. But I don't believe there's a whole lot of detail that we'll be able to provide between now and any time that this goes forward as in the manner that it's going forward with the conditional zoning. And Trish, if I've misspoken, correct me.
I would only add that there really isn't time, certainly, to do a traffic impact analysis as well. I mean, you know, to collect counts, to know what to really characterize the traffic that's out there now. Sorry, I'm not speaking up with my microphone, but...
Just use the mics, yeah.
So there's just not time to do a full-blown traffic impact analysis. What would be possible is what Steve has said, to take some, you know, trip generation information and apply it and look for some guidance in that area and probably provide ranges of possible traffic that would be generated.
I would expect that would be more the applicant's responsibility to provide that kind of information to the extent they can, though not town staff's responsibility to do that.
I mean, Jackie. Simply, you know, how much traffic can a library of this size be expected to be generating during what hours? I think that information is available. How many trips are currently on all of these roads? Where are some of the points that we would think people would be coming from? And so how would it impact the roads? I think that's rough, but it could give an idea. And I certainly think it's possible to come up, you know, we know if we extend Shelton into that property, what that would need to look like and what it would do to the parking for the school. And we know what the regulations are on both a 1- and 2-lane road of that size for that capacity that would be running in the flagpole to the lot. So not asking for exact numbers, but I would find it very hard to move forward without at least that basic information.
If I could follow up on what the mayor said, I too believe that the bulk of this ought to be the responsibility of the applicant. Certainly our staff will work with the county to try to assist them, but it's the county's project, and we ought to be more of a responding to what they're producing as opposed to us producing the information.
I don't think we were, I don't think any of us were asking town staff to produce it.
I just want to be clear about it. In Dan's comment, he talked about town staff commitment, and I think there would be some, but unless we were required to do the work, I think it would be minimal compared to what the county would be required to do.
Exactly.
Answering Dan's question to me, I think that the level, I think that Jack was sort of hitting on the level of detailed traffic engineering information would be certainly be much higher at the CUP stage because the standard is different. The standard to deny a project for because it's a public health and safety problem goes to a safety concern and would require a higher level of proof. But this board can certainly consider the information or lack of information about the traffic impact of a rezoning in your decision. I mean, that's a typical kind of thing to be considered. So, again, the burden, so to speak, is on the applicant to come forward with such information as is sufficient to persuade this board that it's in public health, safety, or welfare of the town to rezone it. And so you can consider all those factors.
Randy, go ahead.
I wanted to ask Trish a question because I think Dorothy, Kathy, and Melanie raised the question about the B2 fringe commercial. And, I think given all the, what is the fringe of that property is residential, I want to just hear your take on the concern about the terms, it being a transitional district towards, accommodating commercial areas that are formerly residential when they're currently residential, and that may be more desirable now for commercial activity. So I don't understand how that really fits that footprint.
Okay. The zoning district definition for the B2, which is the base zoning on which the B2 CZ would be based, so its corresponding general use zoning district, does have language that is descriptive, and it does describe it as you've just stated. I mean, in relation to areas that are transitioning from residential to commercial, and then some they're not actually criteria, they're characteristics. Some of the characteristics that are evident in that situation is the increased traffic and proximity to other residential areas. Now, that description is based on the history of the creation of the B2 zoning district, the general use zoning district, and it used to be located all along West Main Street and Weaver Street. There is also some language in the B2 zoning district definition that has some more specificity to it that we would see as limiting language. That language is we don't see as limiting language per se, but Mike and I have had one conversation about this particular issue in that when it comes to conditional zoning districts, it's unclear the extent to which a conditional zoning has to match the criteria, if there are criteria, in a general use zoning district definition. That's one issue, but perhaps the more specific issue that's related to this question is that while this is a conditional zoning request, it is not a conditional zoning request that would allow any commercial uses in it whatsoever. The request is only for a library use, and so any of the language that's in the zoning district definition that's related to the commercial aspects of the district don't seem to really be very relevant to the question of a fit with that zoning district. I mean, that's a roundabout way, I'm sorry, of explaining this the point, I think, is that there is both within that zoning district definition language that is sort of descriptive and other language that is more specific. And the more specific language in the zoning district definition specifically refers to to parking being located behind buildings and to construction or development that is compatible with surrounding residential development. Mm-hmm. So the other languages we don't see as limiting and therefore not really relevant to the question in front of you, which is the rezoning for a conditional zone that would allow only a library. I mean, that's, I think,
I think trying to summarize it in short is to keep in mind that they're not asking for a rezoning to a B2 zoning district. They're asking, because a B2 zoning district allows a whole panoply of uses, they're asking for a B2C for a library. So the description of a B2 is really not all that relevant because they're not asking for a B2 zoning district.
Except in their rationalization for why they were asking for this, they said that it was because the area was already in transition and that that this was now more appropriate. That's not what they said? That's certainly what
that's
it
what
is.
That's what the ordinance says.
Right, but I mean, that's how the county, that's what the county's using to justify this request. And I think what Randy and members of the public were asking was, we don't see this as being in transition. How is this being seen as being in transition? I think that's the question. And so that's confusing to people when they see that as part of the county's rationalization for why this is a justifiable request. But that's probably a discussion for the 16th.
19th.
I'll have it on the 16th.
You're probably going to have it every day between now and April 19th.
But thank you, Trish, and thank you, Mike. Well, that helps.
Sure. While we're on some of these procedural issues, let's just clarify one point, which is Mr. Attorney, you correct me if I'm wrong. There is a valid protest petition that's been submitted here. Is that right?
Yes, and that triggers a requirement of a 3/4 vote, which for those of you who are mathematically challenged like I am, that means you got to have 6 votes. In other words, it's 5 1/4 or something, but we don't have quarter alder versions. We just have whole people up there, so it makes it a requirement of 6 votes. 6 affirmative votes would be required to adopt the rezoning ordinance.
I think some of the members of the board might like to be able to cast fractional votes, but on this issue in particular. But yeah, so that we're clear, the way this will work out is that the vote will, in order for this to be approved, it would have to be either 6-1 or 7-0 in favor of the ultimate motion. I'm going to raise a couple of additional points. I heard this sort of briefly touched on, but I would like to have real specifically some information about the feasibility of this site being accessed exclusively through Shelton Street and not along the corridor that leads out to Hillsborough Road. I want to know about the feasibility specifically of that as a way to for motor vehicles, in other words. I'm sensitive to and concerned about the potential impact on Cobra Elementary of approaching it that way, but I think, you know, I was talking earlier about what is and isn't a public right-of-way, and I think it bears pointing out that Shelton Street is a public right-of-way, including that part of Shelton Street is a public right-of-way. It looks, for all the world, like a parking lot that belongs to Carbro Elementary School, but it is not. And it is a public street, and it is owned by the town of Carbro, or the people of Carbro, I should say. And I think, you know, we've allowed the school to use it in a particular way for a long time, but that doesn't mean that has to be that way, and that way only for the future. I think the letter from Principal Bivens probably stands on its own. Somebody tried to characterize during the public hearing what she had said. I think it's probably worth reading it for yourself to draw your own conclusions from. But you know, there are 3 different units of local government that are implicated here: the school system, Orange County, and the town of Carbro. And I think whether it's at this site or any site, that the town of Carrboro, the town government of the town of Carrboro wants to collaborate with Orange County to make a library happen. And I would hope that the school system would bring the same approach. And I think we should really be pursuing that issue. We should be moving forward with consideration of this rezoning, or if there's going to be consideration at some other point of some other site, we should be moving forward with in a spirit of cooperation with Orange County government. That said, I have a lot of reservations, particularly about how this this current proposal affects the two properties on either side of the kind of driveway aisle coming out to Hillsborough Road. And I think somebody suggested that no site, that there could be no site that would be uncontroversial. I don't think that's true. I do think it's possible to find a site that would be uncontroversial, or at least a site where such controversy as there would or might be would be unreasonable controversy. I think some aspects of this site are quite reasonably controversial. I think some of the concerns we heard tonight are very reasonable concerns, and that gives me pause. This reminds me very much of when I was a teenager and I first got my driver's license, and I was begging my parents to get me a car, and they said no, and they said no, and they said no, and I asked and I asked and I asked, and eventually I came home one day and my mother said, I've got some great news. Your grandfather called and said you can have his 1978 Cadillac. And I kind of felt like, gosh, you know, a Cadillac is a wonderful car, but it just isn't what I've been thinking of. And I think that metaphor, if you will, is also applicable in another way, just besides the question of exactly where the county is looking, because I agree with a lot of the things that Blair Pollack said in the public hearing, that there seems to be an emphasis and a drive toward a very traditional approach to library services and library facilities. When I asked the question a while back of one of the county commissioners, where does the number 20,000 square feet come from? The answer was some of what we heard from the county staff tonight, which is, well, that's what the consultant said. That's what the committee recommended. Actually, I think the various committees recommended a couple different sizes, and 20,000 square feet is at the low end, actually, of what some of the recommendations were. And I guess my question would be, but based on what? And okay, that was the recommendation, but from whom? And with wearing what hat?
So are you asking for that information to come back to us?
I would like for the county staff to address that question at some point.
Well, but Mark, Carver already does not have a traditional model. We've got a library, and we've got a small library in a school. So already we're thinking we've been asked to think creatively. So
well, my point is this: is that if you start with the question, where can we fit a 1950s library, you will get a certain result. It narrows the range of possibilities down from the get-go. And I feel like, I'm not sure as great as a car as a Cadillac is, I kind of want to know, but what about a Prius? You know, I mean, a 21st century library is likely to be a somewhat different type of institution from what a 20th century library is. And I just would like to hear some answers at some point about what how the county's consultant or whoever kind of came to the conclusion that a 20,000 square foot very traditional sort of library is really the right type of facility.
Could I just speak to one little thing? Just recently in the news, they were talking about the fact that the people who licensed the software for Kindle were going to only allow people and libraries to have a Kindle if they're going to loan it out, as they would a book, only to be able to put one book on the same thing four times. Mm-hmm. So if you have that, then you're limited. And the library associations and the librarians in America are saying, this is not really a cost-effective way for us to loan somebody that doesn't have the income to buy a Kindle or a Nook in order for them to check it out. So before we think about whether the traditional method of providing a book, and there's some cognitive developmental things that happen with children's mind and development, when they have to physically not look at a screen and be able to be entertained, but actually to pick up a book and open it and learn how to read and be read to. So before we have that discussion, prematurely, I would ask county staff to at least bring maybe a paragraph about cognitive development and the issue with electronic books and the use of checking them out and the cost to the library, which means the cost to us as taxpayers.
Well, believe me, the cost to us as taxpayers is one of the issues that I'm concerned about.
And I understand that. But just let me say this. If we're going to have statements put out, let's have it in facts and not what I call neo-facts.
Well,
this ain't Fox News.
You know, I'll give you a fact, and it is a fact that the greatest return that our entire community gets on dollars invested in library services out of any of the libraries, whether at UNC or Chapel Hill Public Library, Carborough Branch Library, Sibrary, the Hillsborough Main Library, the biggest bang for the buck that we get is from the Sibrary. The cost of operating the Sibrary is the lowest of any of those institutions. Per dollar, tax dollar invested, we get the largest number of patrons at the Sibrary, and I dare say, nobody's measured it, I don't believe, but I would dare to speculate that the volume of information that's moved through the Sibrary exceeds any of those other libraries. I'm not saying that the Sibrary model alone ought to be the future of library services at the southern end of the county. And I'm not necessarily addressing sort of Kindle-type technology at all. I've never even used that stuff. I don't really know how it works, and it does, I agree, it probably has a number of shortcomings. But I'm trying to ask the question as a Orange County taxpayer. You know,
I'm not trying to get you not to ask the question. I'm asking you to ask a full question.
Okay. Well, I would like for some response to this question. What is the firm undergirding of this 20,000 square foot plan? And go ahead if you want to address.
I just wanted to remind folks that the new library in Hillsborough is on two floors, and it's 23,000 square feet on the two floors, which is a more compact model. And that's where I was going before when I said about, you know, the county already recognizes that that we're, you know, not to only look at a 1950s model, which is one level on a site that's,
you know, 20,000 square feet to fit a 20,000 square foot building. So we know that the county is aware of that because they've already got a library that's in a two-story building that's settled right downtown.
Well, as a patron of the Orange County Library's main branch in Hillsborough, I would say that although there are computer terminals available there, that the county seems to have adopted a set of policies that make them as difficult to use as they practically could. I don't think they've created an inviting atmosphere for people to use the computer terminals that are available in there. And
I'm just talking about space.
But what I'm talking about is thinking about what the 21st century, the century that we're in, what a library will look like, ought to look like for the future. I also kind of question the notion, and I guess I can understand why the county folks are approaching this particular site with the proposal of going with a one-story building. The thought apparently is that would minimize the impact on neighboring property owners. I'm not sure that that's true. I'm not sure that a two-story building that's 10,000 square feet or something like that wouldn't be better. It would provide more space on the site for buffers from surrounding property owners if it were a two-story building. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear from people what they think about that. I'm not saying it has to be a two-story building, but I'm saying very conceivable to me that a two-story building might be more attractive. It might be less of an impact on neighbors visually, even though it would be smaller. Go ahead.
I heard from the county when they were discussing the transportation board the reason for the size of the library. Apparently, it's state mandated for a full-service library to be 16,000 feet. So it's.
Well, I don't think it's state mandated, though. I think that's sort of the state's guidelines and the state's definition of what they consider a full service library. You're telling me you can't build a library that's less than 16,000
square feet? Full service library.
Well, I don't care whether the state considers it a full service library.
Well, McDougall is an example of a library that's not full service, so it can be smaller.
I'll say it's an example of a not full service library. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
But I'm not sure what the significance of meeting the definition of full service library is to be.
The other point I want to make is that the county said 20,000, not necessarily because they're going to build it at 20,000, but rather because they'd like the opportunity to expand if they needed to. So that's kind of the reasoning. And I could see that extra, if they were to build it 16,000 on a property that could accommodate 20,000, it'd be nice to have some green space. I really am wary of our finding ourselves in virtual reality and missing out on real touchings of, like, for example, grass or outside or books themselves.
I'm not suggesting a library that doesn't have books.
Yeah.
That's not at all what I'm suggesting.
Well, I'm just wanting to share those two things that that I learned: 16,000 full service library, and then a county 20,000 opportunity.
Well, maybe one of the things that county staff can address when they come back on the 19th is what the significance of that definition of full service library really is. I challenge you this: go on Google and type into Google the phrase 21st century library or future of public libraries, and you see you take a look at what comes back as a result. It's not a discussion I think the type of library that as far as I can tell is currently being contemplated. That's what worries me.
Right, but distinct.
Dan.
Yeah, I think there's little question that this board, left to ourselves, would come up with a different definition of library and quite likely a different site than the county has. But we're choosing not to be the ninth municipality that's in the library business and to collaborate with the county on what they're doing. And I think it's important to look at the last email that we received from the county manager today on this subject, in which he says, if the town board does not approve the rezoning request, it is likely the county will let its option on the site in question expire, which is good news to many in the room. Possibly, he goes on, the town might provide another suitable site somewhere on property it owns or can access. Otherwise, county staff feel there are no other sites in Carborough near the downtown area that are either feasible or cost-effective, et cetera. And so, you know, what the county is saying is, you know, basically, if you don't like this site, you give us one. And it may be that over X number of years, just like we waited out the Department of Transportation to change its views on Smith Level Road, that the county might come to another view on libraries or the available space in Carborough will change over time, of course. But I just want to read this so that we're clear on what it is the county is saying to us now. You know, that they're, you know, the county managers is being very direct here about where things stand with them in terms of this particular property and what the alternatives may or may not be.
Can I respond to that, Mark? I think that is the county manager. That's not necessarily the county. And
well, he's speaking for the county on this.
I feel that letter, as a county taxpayer, who serves a town full of county taxpayers, indeed most of the taxes we pay go to the county, I find the tone of that kind of a little bullying.
Well,
you know,
I think regardless of that issue, I'm very sensitive to what you're saying, Dan, and you know, and there are I think there's probably at least one person on the county commission who'd rather just not do this project at all, and who might be eager to hear about anything that would be a justification for moving in that direction. And I don't want to give any encouragement to that school of thought. I think our community very much wants to see some version of this project happen, and I think I'm confident that everybody on this board is looking for a way to be constructive and collaborative in working with the county toward making that happen. But I think, you know, if you say it has to be a 20,000 square foot one story building, that drives the site selection in a particular direction. And it will quickly lead to the conclusion that there's not that many sites where you could build a 20,000 mm-hmm. square foot, one story building within walking distance of downtown Carborough. And I do believe there are at least a few other possibilities besides this site that are reasonably feasible, but to meet those criteria. But part of what I'm saying is, well, you know, is that really what we need in the first place? Is that really what best serves the children and the families of Orange County?
Anybody else a little tired?
Hi,
Leah.
Yeah.
Right.
Do we need a motion to continue the discussion on the 19th?
Mr. Attorney, what's the appropriate move here?
Unlike a quasi-judicial matter, you don't really have to continue the hearing. If you know you're going to come back on a specific day, you can certainly do that to make it clear that the hearing is still open, or you can choose not to and then reopen it again later. In other words, you've held a statutorily required hearing. Now what you do is up to you. in terms of continuing it, closing it, reopening it later? It's up to you.
There's a difference in advertising between those two options, or no?
Not sure.
Letting the public know if we continue it, is it necessary to publicize it?
No, you satisfied all the legal advertisement and procedural requirements for holding a public hearing. So now,
okay.
Obviously, if you want to announce this evening, that I guess you, as you already have, that it's going to be not reconsidered, but the continuation will continue at such a time. You can determine now or whether or not you want to say to folks, we'll continue to hear additional public comment or not, or you can delay that decision. Now, that you satisfy the requirements of the law, so what are you doing right now? Is up to you in terms of further advertising, further holding another hearing, opening it, closing it, continuing it. It's up to you.
All right. Well, I would. I guess it's
going to continue the discussion on April 19th.
Okay.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we continue this discussion on April 19th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Is that
going to
be the only thing on the agenda?
That would be a good idea.
Right now, we only have two consent items that are pretty small items.
Let's try. Are they two consent
items? Well, it was the minutes, so the other one involves a public auction.
I think that's an open question at this point about whether we're going to receive more comment on the 19th. The gentleman was asking whether we're going to receive more public comment on April 19th or not. I think that's an open question. We could or could not, depending. I think it'll depend on how much more information there is to comment on at that point. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved and seconded that we adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter of fact.